end, perhaps. As we have been thinking of God's wonderful providence, his management, and how he does things as he does things. So, having said that and been looking at that, take another look. So, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to execute that work God would do on Calvary's cross before, underline, the foundation of the world, before angels are created, before anything. God had a wonderful plan to glorify himself, for he is a glorious God. And thus he had to, the artist had to express himself. God gave expression to his awesome person. And in that expression, he would create humans. And in the process of the plan, he would give angels choice and humans choice, knowing what choice would do, since God didn't make angels like ants or something. Angels are awesome spirits. Awesome. Humans are awesome spirits. Humans. Compare yourself to a dog. You can worship, you can think, you can act, you can do. You're awesome. And thus, awesome, awesome critters make lousy choices because they have such power, such intelligence. The angels, Lucifer, son of the morning, made a very bad choice because he thought it was all his wonderful being that he had that was being worshipped or being recognized by angels. So therefore, God, in creating us, knowing Adam would fall, knowing all of this, had a solution to make the whole picture look good and come out good. And that's why he died on the cross, to put it all together. Therefore, his management, his providential management, over in chapter John and chapter 16, God created the world and died for each human being. Each human being is in, God intends to save them if they would believe. So, in John chapter 16, his ministry in this day and age, in verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, necessary for you that I go away. I have to go that the Spirit of God might come. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove, convict, convince the world, the whole human race. He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me." Not sins. Everyone's got sins from top to bottom in their old nature. And Christ died. When he died for all those sins. Period. But one sin he has left. If you don't believe in me, you'll die in your sins. One sin. That's why everyone anywhere, you can go to anyone anywhere, no matter how bad, how awful they may seem. And if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be saved. That's all they had to do. That's all they had to do. Now, keeping that in mind, of sin, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. He's the right Savior, the right sacrifice, the right solution. He's right, right, right. He's the righteous one. He's the only one that can save rightly. Where is he? He's rightly seated at the right hand of God. Seated there, wonderfully, locked in. Now, keep that in mind. Of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Verse 11. Because the prince of this world is judged. And you want to tie that together. Well, it's in front of you. Over to chapter 12. And in chapter 12, picking up, please, in thought, if I may. In chapter 12, picking up in verse 30, Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes," in the light of the context. "Now is the judgment of this world," Remember, judgment, this world. "Now shall the prince," Satan himself, "now shall the prince of this world be cast out. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto thee, unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Every human being is subpoenaed, given a subpoena to report to God. No one's accepted. Everyone must report. He died for all. Everyone has to answer for that to him. Now, hang on to that. So that's what he's doing in the world. That's a wonderful thing in the world, doing that. Providence managing. So in the middle of India, France, Venezuela, wherever, any human being anywhere, he wants them saved. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to try to get to them. That's his job. Now, keeping that in providential management, that's good. I don't understand it all, God, because it doesn't look like you're getting to anybody. No, we aren't getting to very many, if we could answer that. We don't seem to get, but I died for all of them, he said. So, now, having said that little bit, over if you would, over to 2 Thessalonians. And 2 Thessalonians. And you will note. And picking up in thought in chapter 2. Now, having said the Spirit of God's ministry is to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, he's out to save everyone that would believe. It's what he did. Now, but the world system isn't cooperating. Now, the Spirit of God's ministry is to what? Restrain, not only to convict of sin to save, but also to restrain evil. Evil. Evil is advancing all through history, all the way to the tribulation. Evil. The Spirit of God's ministry is to restrain it. And you know, without turning there, Genesis 11 and 6. God said that people are all one. One language, one tower, the tower, the city. One politic, one religion, one locked into the system. They were one. Now, what's the wonderfulness of being one? Control. Genesis 6, there is no religion, there is no politic, but they're all one. Noah walked with God. How many other people walked with God? How many people got on the ark? Just Noah. Oneness, oneness, power, control. Why? We're in the God of this world. He's the boss. Put them all together. He's got it in one shot. In other words, coming up, if we had one government, whatever the government did, the whole world bears the thing. That's what it is. Now, so the Spirit of God, that's his ministry, to withhold, hold back at Genesis 11:6. If I do not stop this oneness, the evil will be on my understanding. I'm going to have to scatter them to save them. They'll be so powerful again, there'll be no one to save. No one to save. I've got to stop it. And therefore, and remember he says at the end of verse 6, the evil they will do is, in using our language, beyond measure. 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. And in verse 7, or verse 6, to open it up, and in the process, I'm going to try to do a little bit with these things. Verse 6, now you know what withholdeth, is holding back, restraining, that he might be revealed in his time. 4, in other words, here's the bad guy. Look at verse 4. Who opposes the son of perdition, verse 4. 3, 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, or that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The Antichrist is going to occupy the temple that's going to be built. He's going to occupy it. And evil, that's the top. He's going to have the whole world will have to worship him in one way or another. Now, verse 7, 4, the mystery of iniquity, lawlessness. That's what we're going to start doing pretty quick here. For the mystery of iniquity, lawlessness, doth already work. Only he who letteth, the word let is to restrain something from happening. For the mystery, lawlessness, iniquity doth already work. Only he who letteth will restrain until he be taken out of the way. The Spirit of God's going to do what he does. He's the restrainer of evil, and he restrains evil until he's taken up. Right now it's a time of grace. When grace ends, the wrath of God. When does grace end? The Spirit of God takes the church of God up. That's the end of grace, always grace, but grace is right now holding back. Everything's held back. All the bad, everything is held in check until the church is, the grace of God is finished and the church is taken up. And then the wrath of God takes place. Now, he hinders everything. But once the church goes up, the restraint is gone. And you're free to go, Revelation 6 through 19. And evil will advance very fast, very quick. In 7 years, it'll bring about the Battle of Armageddon. In just 7 years, that's how bad it will get. Now, so therefore in verse 7, for the mystery laws doth already work, only he who now letteth or restraineth will restrain until he be taken out of the way and the Spirit of God is taken up. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so in the providence of God that you or I are sitting in, we're sitting in it, middle of it. On the one hand, God wants us people saved. On the other hand, he's keeping back evil. How evil could it be? And the more we have drugs, the more you have marijuana, the more you have all of this stuff, people are going to go cuckoo. And they're already saying it. It's affecting the mind. And I think they got I don't even know how to say it, the drug stuff over here on Washington Street. I asked you, what kind of store is that? It has C in it, C something. I said, what kind of store is that? And she said, you don't want to go there. You get the idea. Evil. Therefore, got that part of it. So we live in it. We live in it. And the Spirit of God's on top of it. Now God, we're smack dab in the middle of it. 1 Corinthians 10 again. First Corinthians and chapter 10. And you will note. I'm in 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and going directly in the light of using Israel as an example of their trials and tests, and you come to verse 11. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples for us to learn from, and they are written for our admonition, and upon whom the ends of the earth, end of the world, are come. Therefore, let him that thinketh, verse 12, thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. That's why we share together. When you're getting a good time, don't jump up and down. Stay in your knees. You're in danger. That's what Israel did. God said, your danger is going to come when I give you everything, and your heart is going to be full. That's what the devil had. He had everything. I'm somebody. And God said, that's when you'll forget me. That's when you'll forget me. And you'll go downhill. Stay in your knees. Verse 10. Verse 13. There hath no temptation, trial, test, trouble to be put to the proof. Verse 13. There hath no temptation, trial, trouble being put to the proof, taken you, but such as is common to man. Everyone faces the same thing, as you'll see in a moment. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, put to the test, trial, trouble, put to the proof, same word, above that ye are able. God will never do what you can't handle. He won't do what you can't handle. It's what you can handle. And if God allows it, like we've shared many times, if God allows it, trust him. Therefore, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, put to the test, above that you're able, but will, with the test, the trial, the trouble, that you put to the proof. Also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Stay away from idolatry. Stay close to God. Stay close to God. And so I can, now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, you got that idea. So, add to that now, keeping that in mind, God's wonderful, wonderful, God gives all these different things, balancing out, we live in this world. So go over to Deuteronomy and in chapter 8 and remind yourself all kinds of ways. Deuteronomy and in chapter 8. And may I go chapter 8 in verse 17 and 18. In the midst of God's, let me give you the background to that. Chapter 8, over in verse 9. A land, God would give them wonderful, wonderful, wonderful everything. The land wherein thou shalt not eat bread, thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. In other words, you'll always have everything you need without going anywhere. And somewhat that's God has done with this country. The United States has everything. We don't need to go anywhere. We get everything. Everything. Now, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest take brass, bronze, etc. Now, sliding over in the light of all of that as it goes along, verse 17, and thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. And they said, boy, do we have everything. We got it. Wow. Ah, stay in your knees. They didn't do that. No. God, you're going to help us. Yes. Thank you. Verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And verse 19, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, idolatry, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. I'm going to give you everything you've got is of God's grace. And each day, each day, you're given another day. God gives you another day to live, another day to breathe each day. God gives that. You thank him. Do you thank him? Do people thank him? Do people thank him? Ah, no. Hang on. So, if we can, so they forget him. Forget God. Now, sliding over if we can. So we don't want to. God gives wonderful wealth. And what do we want to know? What else do we want to know in understanding our world? God, be careful. Like they said, they're going to do it and forget God. God said, I don't want you to forget. I'm in charge. But it looks like it's a mess and no one's doing anything, as we'll look at. That's true. But that is not quite true. So God, there's nothing that isn't in your sight and you're understanding it. You'll never let it be worse than it should. You'll never let it be worse than it should. And you're trying to reach humans that are caught up in everything except God. God's out of the picture. And God's trying to get him. Trying to get him. They don't wake up. They reap what they sow. Why didn't you fix it? You kept doing. You didn't listen to me. I let him. We shed all these things. Romans 1 and 22, 28 and that. I gave them up. I gave them up to themselves. They wanted to do what they do, and they can go to weirdest, stupidest things you ever heard of. I'll give them up to it. And humans have done it in the weirdest, stupidest things, in worship and everything. Now, having said that, over, if you would, to Hosea. The book of Hosea. And, if I may, Hosea chapter 2. And there's the danger of denying God. God, you aren't there. You aren't there. Where are you, God? You're not there. Ah, danger. Therefore, Hosea chapter 2, if I can, in verse 7. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but they shall not, and shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for it was better with me than now. 4, verse 8, she did not know that I gave her corn. Remember, think of Deuteronomy chapter 8. She did not know that I gave her corn, wine, and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. They went into idolatry and gave idolatry credit. Verse 9, therefore will I return and take away my corn. I gave them corn, I'll take away. I gave them breath, I'll take it away. Where do we get the air from? God. Where do we get the lungs to breathe? God. God. I'll take it away from them. It's all mine. You thought it was yours. It isn't yours. And it isn't just sitting out there belonging to nobody. God made human creation, creatures to be in creation in a wonderful way. So therefore, verse 9, therefore will I return, take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and I will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. Yes, and now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. So God's wonderful, wonderful grace in God's wonderful, wonderful way has to outwork itself in a most wonderful way. And so, God, be careful. We don't think about it because no one thinks. Be careful, God said. You forget me. I'm the source. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. I'm in charge. But everyone's doing what they're doing. That's true. Do you know why they're doing what they're doing? Because they aren't looking to me to have my wonderful benefits. They are dead in trespasses and sin. They have no life at all. Hang on. Now, having said that, over if I can to Ecclesiastes again. And picking up just, we did it the other day, but just reviewing a little bit, some of it we may not have done in the light of what we're looking at, God. So here we are trying to handle life. And God said, make sure you understand in the darkness and everything going on, understand you have to trust me. And don't make the terrible mistake of thinking I disappeared. Make sure, don't get caught up in idolatry. Idolatry can't do anything. Religion up to over your head. Religion, all religions together have no life. Ezekiel 14, 7 and 3 and 7. All idols, all religion comes from your heart. You created the image. It is no better than you. It is no more than you are. You created the thought. You created the Buddha. You created it. It's no better than you are. No better. Powerless. Has no way. Now, demons use it. Chapter 8. And you remember. Going to verse 6. Because to every purpose, I'll read verse 5. Who keepeth the commandment? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is a time and judgment. And so we're able to understand if we think about it. We're trying to understand, God. Help us. Because there's time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. Think of the word mercy. Miserable. Verse 7. For etc. For, verse 7. For he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power, rule over his spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power, rule in the day of his death. There is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those who are given to it. In other words, the good guy and the bad guy, you aren't in control. You aren't in control. And you have to understand that. You don't govern how long you live. You don't do that. You can't. You can do it. Eat all your vitamins and do everything. But you can't. You can't do that. God does that. And you can't. So therefore, God, what are we looking at? God hears us humans on planet, hang on, coming up. Hears us humans on planet Earth trying to work it out. Again, help us. Chapter 9. Chapter 9. And going, if I can, light of all of the context, chapter 9, verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. No, the guys can really run. It's not to them, nor to the battle, to the strong. Boy, they keep winning the fight. Neither yet bread to the wise. In other words, we manage our life and we know how to do everything. Well, we're doing pretty good. Now, nor yet riches to men of understanding. I don't know what it is to have $1 billion. I don't know what $1 billion is, $1 million, whatever. A lot of money. A lot of money. Yeah, $1 billion. Yet the riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, ability, abilities, wow. But time and chance happeneth to all them. And you have no control. You have no control of the train wreck. You have no control of the weather. You have no control. No matter rich, poor, fast, powerful, whatever you are. The greatest, think of the Battle of Armageddon in the plain of Jezreel and all that out there. And in the process, the battle. And they're out there, and they're all the nations represented going against God. Do you know how silly that is? It doesn't look silly. To God, it looks silly. God, it looks silly. We've never seen a thing like that. All of the different wars, we've never seen it. Never seen a world going against God. We never saw that. No, no. God said, listen, you thought you knew everything, but you don't. You don't. And while you're here in Ecclesiastes, remind yourself to put that together. Chapter 7. And remember, verse 13. Consider the work of God. Who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? God said, I'm not going to fix that. Well, I don't want to fix it. No, you're not. You're not going to fix anything. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. Good day. But in the day of adversity, bad day. Consider, God also has set the one over against the other. What for? To the end that man should find nothing after him. Man has no solution. When you're all done, you have no answers, do you? The one minute you have it, and the next minute you don't. You don't have it. And you know the strongest and bravest, and whatever kind of way you want to look at it. But you know, if you can get some kind of bug, disease, and boy, can that put you out of business. I have all kinds of books and medicines like that. Diseases, all the different diseases. I got them lined up. Medical books. I got them. And if you want to get excited about this, open those medical books and turn the pages of diseases and see what disease looks like. Pictures that people have. And you say, oh, ah, yeah. So the big shot is shrunk in one moment of time. We're going to do that in a moment. Now, having said that little bit, Psalm 73. And if you can remember, here's a man looking at the world which we've been looking at, and in the process of Psalm 73, and picking up, if I can, he's looking at the world, and in the process of looking at the world, he's looking and getting all upset because he's trying to do the right thing in the right way, and the world around him seems to do so much better. Therefore, verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious. What was your problem? At the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death. They don't seem to care about anything, but their strength is firm. In other words, they're real convicted about what they do, communism and others, they're real convicted. Verse 5, they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men, etc. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. And I'm all upset. God, they seem to have everything on earth here. I thought you were helping us and managing us. The world belongs to God. The world system belongs to the devil. Different. The tree belongs to God. The human that cuts the tree down belongs to the world system. Satan is in charge. So God, what have we got? We have to understand. And therefore, you know, wonderful, Psalm 73, verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Not my end, their end. I didn't want to be, I was envious about them until I understood why they're there and what's going to happen to them. And I was no more envious. I was no more covetous anymore. No. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind if you can, so God's going to do his most wonderful thing in his most wonderful, wonderful way. So, and having said that and keeping that in mind, sliding down if I can to verse 22. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. That's the humbled heart. Therefore, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Remember we did that the other day a little bit. Verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. So therefore, God, thank you. And by the way, keeping in mind, you had nothing to do with your birth. You were born in a given time, obviously at this time of history. You had nothing to do with your birth. You have nothing to do with your appearance. Did you? Nothing. Nothing. You just have it. You just have it in God's kindness and grace. So therefore, God, we're not going to go by our... So I don't want to leave God out. And I don't want to say, God, I don't see you doing anything. Well, God is doing what he's doing. And he does do what he do. And we're trying to remind ourselves that in a day it looks like everything's going whatever way it wants. It only goes the way it wants to the degree that God wants it, lets it go. Otherwise, God stops it. It only is so far. That's all. And I need to see that. I'm not in charge of anything, really. I'm just here. And I need to trust God with all my heart and with all my soul. I'm not going to manage God, you are managing Thank you for being there in this mess. Now, the grandest example, let me see the time, the grandest example, simplest. David's a wonderful character, David is. David's wonderful. Thank you, David. Thank you, David. But before David, before Israel, before Moses, before the law, before all of that, there was a fellow that God used to show the world at that time. They called the fellow. The fellow's name is Job. Go over to that. Over the book of Job and remind yourself. Let us remind ourselves of Job's wonderful, wonderful working. So, here we are looking at Job. And remember now, there's no covenant, there's no Israel, there's just Gentiles, and then there's Job. Job's there, before Abraham even, I think. So there, we don't know that. Don't know a lot of things. That's a long time ago. So therefore, Job, God, what are you going to do in the book of Job? You're going to use Job. I am. So therefore, in Job, and you remember Job is given everything. God has blessed him manyfold times over. He's very rich, glorious. He has everything. Animals, children, friends, position, power. He has everything. Like Abraham. Abraham was very rich. Cattle and everything. And rich, the word rich is the word glory. Rich glory in this case. The glory. What glory. What you see. What you see. The impression that what you see comes to you and say, wow, wow, wow. Now, and I shared all these things before you all the time, you know, in Kansas, a cattle ranch, big one, and taken out. And the farm, the owner took me out into the ranch, see all the cattle. And I looked at that and I said, wow. Because I do say that sometimes. Wow. Wow. What a lot of cows. A lot of cows. Wow. Yeah. That's it. Glory. That which makes an impression on your heart. You got it. Now, so here's Job. And you remember Job? I'll read it for chapter 1, verse 3. And that he was born 7 sons, 3 daughters, etc. I got to read verse 1 even. There was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He hated evil. He hated evil. Hated evil. He was a good guy. And in the end, there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. So here, boy, he was an outstanding person. And therefore, and his sons went out and vested in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. We're going to have a feast. And God did all that. Now, here comes, that's all of that happening on planet Earth. God is managing everything way back in the days of Abraham, Moses, etc. Abraham and Jacob, etc. Job, chapter 1. And the Lord, now, so here's Satan picking up. And verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of men came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto the Satan, whence cometh thou? Satan has access to God, up to heaven. He's going to get kicked out of heaven. When he gets kicked out of heaven, boy, Revelation 12, watch out, earth. When he can't do it anymore in heaven, He's out said, man, that's a bad time. Now, so therefore, picking up verse 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou... the Lord's setting it up. The Lord sets the thing up in a wonderful way. Now, and in verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth, hateth evil? Boy, he's a grand testimony to my wonderful saving grace. Then said Satan, Satan answered, verse 9, the Lord has said, doth Job fear God for nothing? Job doesn't really fear you, like we said about Israel earlier. You have everything, and then you forget God. God gave him everything. He's got everything. He don't care about you anymore. Verse 10, hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Hast thou blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? And God, he's blessed him over and over and over in all that he's doing. And in the process, you just keep blessing him. And the devil, what do you got? You have a hedge about him. The devil said you got a hedge to protect him. That's right. God's will, in God's way, in God's time, has to be outworked. And if you're looking for God's will in your life, that's what God's going to do to outwork Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, as you go down the corridor of time. Now, that's what you're going to do. So the devil said, if you know, I can't get him. So he's never tested, never proven. But did you read in 1 Corinthians 10:13? I'm going to test you, put you to the test, but never beyond what you can handle. I'm going to put you to the test. So Job, what are you saying? What are you about saying, Job? I can't test. He's never tested. He's never tested God. That isn't true. He really doesn't fear you. Now, verse 11. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now you go, God, that's what you just... In other words, take away the hedge and let the trouble come. Take away the blessing and let the cursing come. So God, and verse 13, there was a day when the sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, oxen are plowing, the asses are feeding beside them, and the Sebeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came yet also another and said, fire is of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and hath consumed them. I only am escaped. So each time we only got one person giving a report. Just one person giving a report of everything's going. You had a whole lot of sheep, they're all gone. They're all gone. That's awesome. They've all been taken. So therefore, verse 17, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the sword, edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell you. And while I was yet speaking, there came to another and said, the sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners. I gotta wipe my eyes. And in the process, smote. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I alone am escaped. I alone. So what do you got? He had all the different men coming from each group. I have all in one 24-hour day. Now that's awesome. Now, on one day. Now, verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and repented and more in sorrow and fell upon the ground and worshiped and said, now he's right on target. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job is going to trust God with all his heart, and that's what he's going to do. 1 Timothy 6. I brought nothing into the world, and most certainly I'm taking nothing out of the world. Back to Israel. God said, listen, the very body you live in, I created it. The very air you breathe is mine. You live in time, the rising of the sun, etc. That's all mine, said God. You can't leave me out. You leave me out of the picture, it's not going to come out good. So therefore, he didn't sin. Now, having said that, now, if you were the devil, you're lost. You're lost. The devil said, let's test him. God said, I'm going to give him a test that no one has to face. I'm taking away everything he has. And he doesn't flunk the test. But, God, what are you going to do? I'm going to help him. I'm going to help Satan and Job. Chapter 2, and you remember, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and the Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, I am going to and fro, coming from to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And by the way, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? See, God's going to test him again. God's going to do it. Now, God, that's awful mean of you to do that. You're going to go and test the guy again? Yeah, I'm going to do it again. I want to show him something. I want them to learn something. So therefore, and the Lord said unto Satan, from going to in verse 3, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and eschews, hateth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, will he... I'm over. I got to quit. Will he give? I'm going to let me take his life. Let me plague him physically. You can't kill him. I got to quit. I'm sorry. I would have just gone. I've gone. I love it. And Job's a wonderful character because he's going to help us.